Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Helen Fernald is a grief recovery author who teaches the art of therapeutic letter writing to help loved ones create peace and a renewed connection after loss. Helen's mother died suddenly when Helen was only 40. Heartbroken and not knowing how to grieve, Helen kept very busy for 5 years and then ended up in the hospital. While recovering, she began to write letters to her mother, which helped to create a new loving connection as well as lasting peace and renewed joy. Helen's powerful and heartfelt book, Love Helen, Letters to My Mother, is the story of her journey while slowly cleaning out the closet of her heart following the death of her beloved mother. And Helen Fernald, author of Love Helen, Letters to My Mother, Creating a Loving Connection After Loss, is our guest on This Week in America. Hi, Helen. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. I am so grateful for this opportunity. I am very passionate about the message of my book, and I am very grateful for this opportunity to share it. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. It is our pleasure. This book is touching so many lives and dealing with something that we all have to cope with or try to cope with. And you really help us through it because you tried unsuccessfully at first and then found letter writing. Let's talk about that. When you chose the format of the book, you chose letters as the main topic area. Talk about that and why actually printing the letters was so important to you.
Yes. I'm going to go back a little bit because I think my story is a little different from most authors' stories in that, to be truthful with you, I never, ever planned to write a book. So I come from a family of educators and linguists. I knew I would be a teacher at the age of 4. I started Spanish at the age of 12. I knew I would be a Spanish teacher. And it was just a straight shoot. Went through college, through graduate school. Got a job teaching Spanish at UNH, and then I got married, moved up to Wolfboro, New Hampshire, and got a job at the local high school. And then when our first daughter was born, I stepped back from public teaching and just did some tutoring. And our lives were going along so nicely. And my husband and I actually met in Spain on our graduate program, and we just fell in love with Spain. We loved talking Spanish. We loved all of our friends in Spain. So every year we would go back to Spain. And even after when our daughter was 6 months, we just packed her up and went off to Spain again. And we just, you know, every trip might have a few little glitches, but in general, everything was great until the year 1992. And that was one of those years that I think most people face sometime. It could be a week, a day, or a whole year. In my case, it was a whole year. I turned 40 in April. I really wanted to have another child. I got pregnant in May. I was thrilled. I lost the baby in June. But because we already had tickets to go to Spain in July, my doctor said, oh, you'll be fine. But, you know, if you have any trouble, just go to a hospital. And I smugly thought to myself, ugh, I've lived in Spain for 2 years. I've been here myriad times. I have always been in perfect health. Well, that was a trip where absolutely everything went wrong. Within the first week, we were in the emergency room 3 times.
Wow.
And it just, everything went wrong. But I did exactly what I'd always seen my mother do, which was to just smile through everything, pretend everything was okay, and just move forward. And then on July 14th, 1992, someone came knocking at our door. And when I opened the door of our little villa where we were staying, it was somebody bringing a telegram. And you just know getting a telegram.
That's not good.
In Europe is not a good thing. And it was for my brother, and I had to call him. And of course, in 92, this is way before a cell phone. So I had to run frantically and find an area where I could make an international phone call. And I literally fell on the floor. The person manning the booth had to come over and pick me up because my brother told me that our mother had died from a massive heart attack at 3 o'clock that morning. And I was in complete shock. I actually realized that I, all the way back, and it was, you know, 2:30 in the afternoon in Spain when everything is quiet and tranquil. And I was so shocked that I literally screamed at the top of my voice, no, 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 for 10 minutes until I got back to my villa. But then just before I got there, I thought, I can't, I can't go in like this. I have to do what my mother has always done, which is just stuff everything inside and just move forward, because I had no choice. I couldn't freak out my daughter, who was already sick. I had to begin to make plans to get back to the United States, cancel all of our plans with our friends in Spain, get back all the way to Cleveland, get the funeral. You know, there were just, it was just myriad things. So I just shut everything down, walked in, calmly gave them the news, and then just began to make the next steps. And of course, we got to Cleveland. Thank goodness my mother's best friend, Trudy, was already helping my brother and helped us with the funeral arrangements and one thing and another. But I think I was still in such a state of complete shock. And then when we got to Cleveland, we had a beautiful service for her. And when I remember when my brother and I and my husband and daughter walked out of that, out of the church before the, you know, before the service downstairs, suddenly it hit me. I thought, oh my goodness, my mother is not here to be the first in line. I have to be the first in line. How am I ever going to greet all of those people? Because there was always that voice in the back of my head, just like the voice I think so many people hear. Don't start crying, because you will never stop crying.
Yes.
So I had no idea how I was going to even handle that. And this was sort of the start of this kind of miraculous journey I've been on since that time. Because the first woman who walked into the room, who walked up to the line, was a neighbor of my mother's that I didn't even know very well. But she threw up her hands and with the biggest smile on her face said, "Hallelujah, honey. Your mother would have loved this day." And I thought, wow.
Oh, yeah. What a reaction. Yes.
Yes. It just completely changed everything. And so, you know, everything went smoothly. I actually got pregnant again and then lost that baby in November. So it was a really hard year. And my mother was always the one that I would turn to. "Mom, things are going horribly." "It's okay, honey. Things will be okay." She wasn't there to tell me that anymore.
That had to be a shock when you realized that the person you would confide in, that you would talk to, that would give you guidance, wasn't there anymore.
No, nothing whatsoever. It was really so hard. The next year, the good news is that the next year I actually got pregnant. Our son now is 30 and a lawyer in New Hampshire,
fantastic.
So I'm very grateful for that part.
Yes.
But then, of course, that gave me the perfect excuse to do what most people do when they're not dealing with their grief, which is just race. So now I had a daughter who had a lot of activities. I did a lot of volunteering. I was teaching exercise. I had this new baby. I just raced for 5 years. And then truly, as so often happens, I just completely fell apart and was in the hospital with a fractured back and pneumonia, which is a terrible combination.
Wow. Yes.
So, but then when I was recovering, I remember the family went to a bookstore and I literally was just standing there in the self-help section and this book of angels fell to my feet. And that's when I really started to listen to my intuition and to my guidance. And so after I bought that book and read that book, then I, for 5 years, found people just Googling people on the internet, and I found 5 intuitives. Every year I would pay for 1 intuitive, and I was always asked 1 question, and the question was always the same thing. What should I do now with my life? And the answer was always the same thing. It was write a book. And I was horrified. The only thing I thought what I could write was a book about Spanish grammar, and there were plenty of those. And I thought, I'm not qualified to write anything else. And then finally the 5th person, when I said, "Does this have to be a Spanish book?" She said, no. She said, "This is a book about your mother, and it's going to help many, many people." So now I had a little tiny clue.
Yes.
And then my daughter and I were very close. But at that point, my daughter decided to move out to California. I live in New Hampshire. She moved out to California to study Waldorf education. So now I had this space. I thought, okay, well, I'm supposed to write a book. I have no clue what it's supposed to be about. The day that she got to California, she got an email and she sent it to me. She said, "Mom, I don't even know who this person is, but it's about writing a book. I think it's for you." So I had to Google the person. His name is Gay Hendricks. I'm sure you're familiar with him because he's written over 30 books. And he was going to dedicate the rest of his life to helping people write books. He did it one time, and I was in that course. And it was amazing. But here was, I still had no clue. And I remember one morning, the first homework was, of course, what are you going to write your book on? And I remember going in. I have a beautiful back room where I meditate. I remember going into my room, literally throwing up my hands and saying, what am I going to write? And the answer was right there. I heard so clearly, write letters to your mother. And I thought, I can do that. That's no problem at all. Because the other part of my history is that from the time I was 18 and left for college till the time I was 68 when my brother died suddenly. So for 50 years, our family wrote weekly letters to each other. So for 50 years, I wrote thousands of letters.
Oh, yes.
And that doesn't include all of the letters that I wrote to all my friends and everything, because I'm of the generation of writing letters. And so I just grabbed, I got, you know, a 99-cent notebook. I had a pen and I just started writing letters. And yes, finally, I started crying. But what I realized was at the end of each letter, rather than wanting to cry more, there was like this feeling of satisfaction, like, wow, this was amazing. And of course, I've since learned that the power of letter writing, as opposed to typing or obviously sending emails or texts, which are very quick, the power of writing by hand is that scientists now know what people have always understood, that the energy of our heart, which carries all of those feelings, actually, when we write by hand, when we write in cursive, the energy actually flows out through our hand and really is a release of those emotions.
Yes.
So it's amazing. And I have to say that I never had any idea when this book would be done. I never have tried to control any of this. It has all just happened. I started getting beautiful poetry and prayers along with all of these letters. And then one day I wrote for 8 years. I could hear the beginning of the letter. So I would just grab my notebook and write it. And then after 8 years, I remember waking up on Mother's Day and thinking, oh my gosh, I have to write a letter to my mother. It's Mother's Day. So I sat down and I would always reread the letters after I finished. And when I read that letter, I realized that it ended in a different way than every other letter for 8 years. And I knew I'd finished the book. It was so amazing.
And now it is doing the job that you intended, or that voice in you, the intuition was intending, that not only helped you, but helping so many other people who are going through how to deal with grief, and letter writing did it for you. It's all in the new book by Helen, Love Helen, Letters to My Mother, Creating a Loving Connection After Loss, by Helen Fernald, and you'll spell that F-E-R-N-A-L-D. It's important. Our website is helenfernald.com. We've got all this on our website. You can link on, go directly to our website. Book available online and in bookstores, and of course, all that information, and you can order at the website, helenfernald.com. Let's talk about that writer's group, because now, maybe the first time, you're presenting your letters to other people in the group. What kind of response did you get? I understand they suddenly, things clicked with them, and it's like, you know, that's a great way to connect, and they started doing it and felt the same therapy that you were going through.
It, again, that the whole writer's group was, again, one of those just gifts that dropped from heaven, in my opinion, because I remember one day, I don't even think anybody knew I was writing letters to my mother. One day, I was going up the steps of our mailbox, of our post office in Little Wolfboro, and a friend of mine came out and just out of the blue, she said to me, I'm starting a writer's group. Would you like to belong? And I thought, well, yes, that's fabulous. So I joined this group. I knew a couple of the people. It was fairly small. And we would gather, I think, twice a month. And what fascinated me was that what I started noticing was that, you know, someone would read her work. And then we would suggest, you know, oh, maybe you could put a comma there. Or maybe you might want to change this word. You know, the usual writer's group things. But when I would read my letters, everybody would start talking about their mothers. It was as if I just opened some door that let them feel safe talking about their mothers. And it was just such a beautiful thing. And I noticed that in other moments also, when I would read to other writers' groups, or also when I had a session in this last fall. I just offered a free session to people in my town, and we met once a month, and I just called it I Miss You, Mom. And I would be there, and they were always small gatherings, because I think it takes a great deal of courage to talk about your grief.
Yes.
But I think people, for whatever reason, just felt very comfortable with me, and every time was a beautiful sharing opportunity, and I'm so grateful for that. And I want to share with you two. I've gotten many beautiful comments from people that I know and don't know that just have found my book on Amazon. But I want to share two particularly that really touched my heart.
Sure.
I have a friend in Cleveland, Ohio. I'm from Cleveland. I have a friend from Cleveland, and I had meant to send her a book before Christmas, but I was doing book signings, and then it was Christmas. And so finally, I got her book in the mail. And for me, it was, again, one of those perfect moments, because I sent her the book and she immediately texted when it got there. She said, "Oh, I got your book." And I was very happy that she finally had it. The next day she texted me and she said, "Today is the 46th anniversary of the death of my son. And I am reading your book and it is helping me." And I just cried. I was so moved. I mean, we all have grief stories, and
yes,
I know we can't compare them, but my mother was in her 70s, and I think my mother was ready to go, and her death was perfect for her. But if I think about losing my child, I can't even begin to imagine how hard that would be. So to think that my book and my honesty about grief could help her just really touched me. And the other one was a very different situation. It was a situation, my daughter had a wonderful friend. They were good friends. I loved the mother. It was a great family. And when our daughters were in their, I think maybe mid-20s, I can't remember exactly, my daughter's friend, her mother was murdered. And I can't even imagine getting that news.
Oh,
and
yes,
it's never even been resolved. So she's lived all these years. Our daughters are now 40 years old, and she's lived all these years never knowing the end of that. And so at Christmas time, I said to my daughter, "Do you think I should send your friend a book? I don't know. I've tried to be like a really good friend to her, because I thought she could maybe use a kind of a substitute mom." So she's always so kind. She comes and visits me every year when she comes to New Hampshire. But that's not my business. I have no idea what kind of grief work she's done, if she's done any. So we both decided maybe it was not appropriate. And then I got a Christmas card from this young woman. And she said to me, "Helen, I found your book. I'm reading it." She already had a favorite poem that she'd found. And she said, "Of course it makes me cry, but in a lovely way." And then what particularly touched me was she quoted what I wrote in the first letter to my mom. I said to my mom, "Mom, I wish I could just sit at the kitchen table and have one more cup of tea with you." And she said that. She said, "And I wish I could have one more cup of tea with my mom too." And again, I was just so touched that this person, so young and going through such challenging grief, had the courage to read my book and that it was helping her. So again, I just felt so incredibly fortunate, so blessed that I could offer this to anybody who might need it.
Amazing stories, and the power of a book. People you know, people you don't know are reading the book and making life better and learning to come to grips with something that they're having a hard time, that they're struggling
yes.
with. The book is Love, Helen, yes. Letters to My Mother, Creating a Loving Connection After Loss. Helen Fernald is the author. That's F-E-R-N-A-L-D. That's her website, helenfernald.com. Book available Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold, online and in bookstores. Time is going by so quickly. I want to talk about something you mentioned, the courage it takes to do this. And it took you years to get the courage to write this book. How did you balance all of that? It's difficult. I mean, this is personal. Once you made the decision, I can help other people. Now the reality is, okay, I'm opening myself up. They are seeing my heartbreak. They are seeing, listening to, and reading intimate conversations I had with my mother, having with my mother. How difficult was that to balance what you were doing, the good and what you were doing, and the emotional issues that you were probably going through as you were writing?
Yes. Well, I want to say, first of all, the first thing that I always suggest to someone who has lost someone is to find a good counselor. You know, in today's world, it could be a counselor, a coach, a minister, someone in hospice, a grief recovery group. But I think it's very important to be able to speak with someone. And I was incredibly fortunate. Over the years that I was writing, I had a series of three outstanding counselors, and I felt extraordinarily grateful for that. So I always suggest that. But as far as actually putting the book out into the world, you nailed exactly what was most challenging, particularly in my family, because in my family, we were a very private family.
Never
talked about your family beyond the house. Everything you see, you were just supposed to pretend everything was great. So for me to actually bare my soul was a really challenging part. I actually had to work a lot on that. But what I finally realized one day when I was out walking, and I'm a dedicated walker, and I think nature is also very healing and has been very healing.
Exactly,
for me.
Yes.
But I remember so clearly one day when I was out walking, all of a sudden, the voice in my head said, yes, rule number two was never share your story. But rule number one was always help other people. And the minute I heard that, I thought, okay, I am good to go. Because this is the whole purpose of this book. It's not about, you know, my family and what somebody's going to think about my family. It's all about the possibility of helping someone else who is going through something so similar. Because as you said earlier, we all go through grief. Grief is actually what has the potential of uniting us. Because we all go through grief. And when we can resolve our grief, what I realized after writing all those letters to my mother for all those years, for 8 years, I realized that not only did I have a completely new concept, actually, of my mother, I had this deep compassion for my mother. I can't imagine how she did all she did in those years.
Yes.
And I think when we have compassion for another, we have compassion for ourselves. Suddenly we have compassion that flows out into the world. And I think, wouldn't it be so beautiful if instead of denying ourselves a common human experience, if we could share it, share our stories in whatever way, and allow ourselves to acknowledge that this is really hard. Grief is not easy, but it is real. And there are people who can help us, and there are lots of books that can help us, and classes and all sorts of things. So that, for me, is the gift of having of being able to put out this book.
The book is Love, Helen, Letters to My Mother, Creating a Loving Connection After Loss. Again, a couple minutes left, but something that I think is so important. People are probably listening and going, well, what would you say in a letter? And I think you made the analogy. It's like I pick up the phone and I'm talking to my mom. That sort of breaks it down to a personal level, doesn't it? That it's not something that you have to think about and go back and structure or whatever. It's just fire away like you had a phone in your hand.
Exactly. I love that you picked up on that, because that is exactly the idea. A letter is just, you know, I didn't write my deepest thoughts when I wrote my weekly letter to my mom. I was like, you know, yesterday I took, you know, I did this, and today I'm going to do this. And, you know, and that's the exact, these letters do not have to be profound letters. You know, they can just be whatever's on your mind. Like, for example, my letters, you know, a lot of them are dealing with the grief around my mother, the grief around my father, around family issues. But many of them are talking about other people's grief. And also, for example, there are a number of letters about becoming an empty nester when my son graduated, and how all of his friends used to come to my house. And I love that. I had so much fun having this household of guys, teenage guys. And then all of a sudden they went off to college. And, you know, I'm always asking my son about them. And you know, I see some of them on Facebook. But, you know, that's grief also. Grief comes in many, many ways. It doesn't have to be a horrible sudden loss. It could be the loss of your pet. It could be loss of a relationship. And I think that particularly because in the pandemic, people suffered from so many losses of so many kinds and never really had the opportunity to deal with them. I personally, we all know that anger is a part of grief. And I'm not saying that today's anger is all from grief, but I do feel like when we deal with our anger, we become very compassionate again. And so again, that's a hope from my book and of guiding people to this very old technique. You know, I heard it, but clearly this has been a technique that people have used for hundreds and probably thousands of years.
And it works. Sometimes going back and finding something that works is classic. It's priceless. It's something that you need to do. You said, I'm not sure if we ever truly stop grieving. And that really resonated with me because you personally, you go through it. You see people going through it. It's difficult to work through grief sometimes. Is it bad if we don't resolve it right away? We think sometimes we have to figure this out, solve it, and get on with our lives. It's not that simple, is it?
No, it is so much more complicated. I mean, really, my mother died in 1992. It took me 16 years before I even started writing letters, 8 years writing letters. And even though I feel like, you know, my grief is much less, every time I see my mother loved nature. Every time I see a poppy or a beautiful sunset, or I go to a museum and I see a painting of Monet, I immediately think of my mother. Now, I'm not crying when I think of my mother, but I miss my mother.
Yes.
And I think it's such a normal thing. And I love that you're pointing this out, that grief is not something that we're supposed to get rid of quickly. Grief simply means that we have loved and we have been loved. And isn't that the purpose of life? How beautiful to think of grief in that way. In a certain way, grief is a blessing because it reminds us that we have had love in our life. And we don't have to let go of that ever. I mean, I think it's not good to hang on to the anger and to the depression. I think those are the things that we need to move through with a counselor or by writing letters or by whatever yes. technique works. But I think that it's beautiful to always remember our mothers or whoever we've lost.
You've done so much.
Because they gave every one of those persons who loved us. You know, you don't open the obituary section and you don't grieve for every person who's lost because you have no relationship. But for every person that you have had a relationship with and have lost, that person has given us something special or we wouldn't be grieving. Well, and it's beautiful to remember that.
You give us something special with this book because it helps put into focus in reading the reviews and the comments from people. You get them in the book signings. You're going to do an online class and talk about this. You'll get all this information at Helen's website, and I'll give that to you in a second. Helping people with the book is one thing. You also help a nonprofit that works with grieving children. And let's just take a minute or so here at the end to talk about that because that is so difficult. You know, a mature adult can figure out a way at least to try to resolve this. Growing up and dealing with all the angst that you go through in growing up, to have grief on top of that and to try to sort through that has to be very difficult. Why has that project been so important to you?
Well, first of all, because my first loss was with my Uncle Stan, my great Uncle Stan, who was like a grandfather to me. And he lived with us and I adored him and I knew he loved me. And then suddenly he died when I was 9. And again, we were not a family to discuss grief. That was just that. And I've had to go back to that so many times that makes me totally understand how powerful grief is when we lose someone, even a pet when we're a child.
Oh, yes.
And then I found out about this organization and I met with these people and my heart was just so completely touched by the work that they are doing. They have this beautiful nonprofit called Friends of Anya. And they not only have classes for grieving children in the building next to that, they have classes for the adults who are trying to deal with that. And they also, this is astounding. I've never heard about this project in anywhere else, but maybe it does exist. But they also create backpacks which they distribute through all of the public schools in New Hampshire, so that if a counselor finds out about a child who is grieving a death, they can give this child a backpack, and it's filled with resources to help kids.
Oh,
I just think that's incredible.
It really
and
is.
And so I was so moved by them. And, you know, it's a nonprofit. All nonprofits need money. So I have pledged that part of my proceeds from all of the sales of my book will go to support this nonprofit, because it is so beautiful. The people that run it are so kind, and everything that they do is wonderful.
Continuing to help people. The book is so well done and touching so many lives, and you'll find it wherever books are sold, quite literally. Love, Helen, Letters to My Mother, Creating a Loving Connection After Loss. Helen Fernald, now that's F-E-R-N-A-L-D, her website, which has all this information, so much information there, as well as an area where you can order the book as well, helenfernald.com. The book available at Amazon, all the usual places. I'd like to thank Mainspring Books for arranging our conversation with Helen today. Mainspring Books, making your stories come to life. Their website, mainspringbooks.com, and I thank them for making this possible. The time has gone by way too quickly. Hopefully we can do this again. Helen, thank you so much for being with us. Excellent job with the book. It really is heartfelt. I can feel your passion as we're talking on the program today. You're helping people. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. And our website is thisweekinamerica.us. All the information there. We're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.